Welcome, welcome, welcome to Qigong Today, brought to you by Qigong Institute, a nonprofit run by volunteers and dedicated to promoting the scientific understanding of Qigong. Today's topic is resilience. Resilience is what we're going to talk about today, but I want to just share some quick facts with you about resilience. Forbes magazine chose the word resilience as the word for 2021. Harvard Business Review has called resilience a team sport because of the relationship of our interpersonal relationships to resilience. There are many kinds of resilience: emotional, mental, physical, social. You and I might know resilience as that ability to bounce back or that ability to tough it out and hang in there. But what is resilience exactly? And what is the connection between Qigong and resilience? Tom, take it away.
Well, I think the standard definition of resilience is adaptation to adversity, trauma, or stress. In other words, it's adapting to change. And it's the ability to positively adapt to challenges and changing circumstances over time. So you develop resilient behaviors which lead to improved mental and physical outcomes. And one of the first things people consider resilience is, I should be doing mindfulness. Mindfulness practice is necessary, but it's not sufficient for resilience. Mindfulness often doesn't include specific breathing, such as diaphragmatic breathing in Qigong, which effectively modulates the autonomic nervous system through the vagus nerve. And mindfulness is often practiced as a purely mental exercise, focusing on just thoughts or no thought without attention to body sensations. But mindfulness does provide awareness and focus. The crux is, once you've achieved a mindful state of awareness, what's next? Well, resilience requires mind-body adaptation, which includes mindfulness and mental focus, but it also includes emotional, social, and physical components, which is the terms biopsychosocial. And if you look at resiliency research, you'll find terms like neurobiology, biopsychosocial, epigenetics, brain plasticity, whole person health, psychosocial, psychophysiological, and physiology. So the necessary and sufficient requirements for an adaptive, resilient mind-body practice is more than meditation alone and more than exercise alone. It's the combination, like a practice of Qigong. So you look at the research on this. Here's an example. It's the combination, like the practice of Qigong. And here's an example of the research by McEwen in pursuit of resilience, stress, epigenetics, and brain plasticity. And the brain, turns out, is the central organ in your body for adaptation to experiences, including stressors, which are capable of changing brain architecture. That's brain plasticity, as well as altering systemic function through neuroendocrine and autonomic, immune, and metabolic systems. Brain regions regulate higher cognitive function, emotional regulation, and self-regulation. And effective modulation of the stress response is an essential component of resilience and dependent upon this complex interplay of neurobiological and behavioral factors. And individual differences in emotional regulation and coping skill influence a person's ability to achieve resilience in the face of stress. So tolerable stress refers to situations where negative events occur, but the individual with a healthy brain architecture is able to cope, often with the aid of family, friends, and other individuals who provide support. But with toxic stress, the individual's likely to have adverse effects on behavior and physiology. Now we're going to discuss the mental processes of resilience and mind-body practice at another time. For now, we want to focus on the physical aspects of resilience, which include benefits to the brain. So I want to share another article here. And this one is by Arita et al., and it's the contribution of physical exercise to brain resilience. So this research shows that physical activity and exercise create physiological and psychological benefits for the brain, which include improved cognition, structure, and function. And these neurological benefits in brain function and structure allow the brain to adapt to life's challenges. And the loss of resilience of neural architecture with aging can be redirected by exercise. But there's no silver bullet. If you want the benefit of Qigong, it isn't one time only. It's lifelong, it's a lifestyle thing. And healthy exercise behaviors, which are obtained early in life, which become part of one's lifestyle, can build resilience. And this research talks about adolescents who engage in exercise and sports activities more regularly are less prone to stress and depression. Now, you know, personally, my daughter at 7 months, we started taking her out in the mountains, and she was backpacking at 4 and climbed her first really big mountain at age 6. I mean, we kind of pushed her, but she enjoyed it, especially when she had one of her friends was with her. So when we were later on in life, when we were on some pretty seriously uncomfortable trips, the unpredictable weather, like cross-country skiing in a blizzard or being soaked to the bone for hours while hiking, she was mentally and physically prepared for that and adapted. The challenges were just the conditions were just a challenge to overcome. It wasn't that big a deal. She was resilient. And in this time of pandemic, children are especially vulnerable. And anything that can be done to develop resilience and boost brain function is going to be a big win for the child and the family, especially when the individual grows up. So Josie's going to go into some more detail on the exercise aspects of resilience.
Thank you for that. And I really want to share right now the research that goes with that and physical exercise in particular, that how that is tied to resilience. And on screen in a few seconds, you'll see just like the most amazing article, right? How timely that COVID-19 was studied as a stressor for a community here. And how in this article here, it measures something called allostatic load, which, you know, is a fancy way of saying, what is the cumulative burden of chronic stress, such as a pandemic, right, on the individual? And in particular, they looked at two groups here who exercise frequently, you know, meaning about 3 to 5 times a day, every day, versus 1 to 2 times per week. So no surprise that it was the group that exercised more frequently that actually experienced less anxiety. So you can see what's going on there, that moderate exercise is just a really great way to bypass those the stressors that happen with a chronic stress situation like a pandemic. So this is that way of balancing what's going on. And I just love this article for that, and for showing that exercise really makes a difference. But then, you know, I just said, hey, what about Tai Chi and Qigong exercise? And sure enough, there's a clinical evidence of Tai Chi exercise used as in for conditions such as neuromuscular problems, nervous energy problems, metabolic problems as prescriptions. And so this is where the researchers have highlighted the American College of Sports Medicine requirements for exercise. And well, we're really happy to know that Qigong, Tai Chi really qualify as moderate intensity exercise. And again, going back to what Tom said, it's that frequency of being able to really practice just a couple times a week. the American College of Sports Medicine in particular. I'm just going to show you a few things about that article. This is free. You can look at it. You can look at the diseases that that this systematic overview looked at. So they boiled down something like 5,000 articles down to 139 articles on Tai Chi in particular that qualified as randomized control trials, these really rigorous standards. And this is what they came up with. So 33 studies showed this incredible benefit. And this is where Tai Chi really shines, right? The musculoskeletal system, connective tissue benefits. These are the diseases that helped, that were assisted and helped here. And, you know, this is like, I love seeing this. And there's a little mention here of the American College of Sports Medicine. And these are the prescription principles of Tai Chi here. So this is where all these studies really met that requirement. And what is that? That's 120 minutes of moderate intensity exercise every week. So that's, you know, that's a couple hours of Tai Chi, but if you do a little bit every day, that's really what we're talking about. And finally, I want to show one of my favorite parts of this study. In particular, you could see on screen in a moment, it was different styles of Tai Chi that were studied. And this is what just was really inspiring to me, because it's no one particular style of Tai Chi really has the benefit. It's all of Tai Chi, all kinds of styles, even the so-called unspecified style. So that tells me a lot about essence. And I want to just pass it over to you, Francesco, to talk about just why that might be the case of the essence of the practice really making the difference.
Yes. Well, thank you, Josie. And Josie, you are the vice president of the Qigong Institute, and Tom is the president. I'm the chairman. So the three of us have worked to create this program to share this research. The research you just saw came from the Qigong Institute Energy Medicine and Qigong Database. So this information is available on our website for anybody to take a look at. And it's something I think that's so critical to look at now as we talk about these allostatic stressors, you know, what we're dealing with as COVID, 2020 being the stressor, and 2021, of course, being the year of resilience. Because resilience is not just a noun, it's not just a thing, it's actually more of a verb, you know, because it comes from the old Latin resiliere. This means to jump back, to go back to a state. And as Tom said, you pointed out, we have a particular homeostatic state of health in our body when we are in our optimal immune system state, our optimum physical state. But when we hit those stressors, what happens? We move into another state. So resilience is a lot about getting back, just like the old Latin word meant, to go back to a state of homeostatic health and alignment. Qigong and Tai Chi are like the incredible practices for that, because they're not intrusive in the sense of how we say a sort of an intensive practice. It's something that most people, and I've been teaching for 30 plus years, a way to have a gentle practice. And as you said, Josie, what's so critical is as long as it's a daily or at least a regular practice, you rehabituate yourself. Just as you're mentioning, Tom, we'd be able to see from this research and from our own personal practice that those stressors created a new habituation. It created a new set of stresses in our muscles, a lack of activation of the vagus nerve, a tremendous amount of different things that happen. These are new patterns that through resilience, we jump back to that state of balance. But how do we do that? Through a practice that includes mindfulness and breathing and intention. So as Tom pointed out in the research, just exercise by itself is not going to be as effective. As you said, Josie, these different styles of Tai Chi all were up in the upper 90 percentile in terms of being effective. So what does that mean? There's a principle behind this practice that works. And it's not so important what the practice may look like, as long as it fits those basic metrics of conscious breathing, conscious intention, and a set of movements that moves in concert with your body and breath. So we can jump back to a state of health, because that is what the old Taoists talked about. How do we return to the childlike body? I don't think I'm going to go back to a childlike body, but I can certainly get back to a more efficient body. And when I feel those aches and pains, when I feel the muscle tensions, it's the Qigong practice of dropping into that qi state that curiously drops the stressors and those triggers. These are musculoskeletal triggers. And as Tom pointed out, in the brain, there's the management going on. And epigenetically, we can shift back. We can change these modulators. It's fascinating. And so I hope that through this research, it's available on the Qigong Institute website that Tom works very hard to collect. And the three of us work to try to bring it together in Qigong Today in this program, so you could learn a little bit about what's available to you to support your practice and understand that through regular, hopefully daily practice, it doesn't take a lot, as Josie said, those studies showed 2 hours over the course of a whole week. So if you practice 10, 15 minutes a day, you will rehabituate your body to trigger the resilience. Resilience is a proactive word, not a thing. It's an active dynamic that you develop through your intention and your practice of Qigong and Tai Chi. So thank you for watching. And another time, we're going to go deeper into resilience on other levels. And check out the website. Learn a little bit about what we have going here. It's all free and for your growth and empowerment and transformation. So thank you.